This show is sponsored by the Crummy Cookie Dough Company, top-notch humans making top-notch edible cookie dough. Welcome to I Am Everything, with your host, Cheyenne A-Town.
All right, welcome to I Am Everything. I'm your host, Sean A-Town, and even though I'm hosting, I'm not necessarily driving the ship. I like to have the guests drive the ship. They could pick the music and talk about whatever they want. So today we have, state your name, where you're from, and maybe your favorite food. I don't know.
All right, man. Thanks. Thanks for having me on the show. I appreciate it. My name is John Thomas Gauthier. Living in Toronto now, originally from Ottawa, and I've been here in Toronto for about 5 years now, and favorite food has got to be cheeseburgers.
Yeah, cheeseburgers all the way. I agree.
Yeah.
So to give people a little background, I met you when I was working at Bistro Hotel back when
Correct.
It was brand new, crisp, clean, everything. I don't know if it's clean now. It probably is, obviously.
It's still clean. It's just not as new.
Yeah. So like, you were one of the first bartenders they hired, and you know, I worked in the cafe as well. Those were good times. But how has it been going since then? I know you're still in your acting mode as always. How's it been going since, I think it was 2016?
When we started.
Yeah.
I think it was September 2017 is when the hotel officially opened.
Yeah.
There's been a lot happening since then. I moved to Toronto originally to kind of follow the acting bug, kind of take it more seriously. Because in Ottawa, there wasn't really much going on at the time. I mean,
Right. Shows
eventually started being made in Ottawa. But at the time that I left, there was pretty much fuck all, except for small stage theater or maybe extra work on C-list or D-list or movies of the week kind of thing. So I came here to pursue that. And I mean, it's just like most actors, whether you're trying to make it or even if you have been doing it for a while, you need a second or a third job because it's not always paying the bills. So a lot of actors are bartenders or servers on the side or work at cafes just because you need to have a schedule that's flexible enough for you to be like, oh shit, I got to take off and do this audition or I got to do this self-tape. Or I might get called away for a couple of days to shoot something. So it's, you know, especially if that's going to be your passion, you need something on the side that's going to be flexible yet making enough money to survive. Because we both know Toronto is expensive as hell.
Yeah,
like it's so expensive to live in, not just the rent, but everything around, right? Yeah. So, I mean, the hotel, like the bar that I worked at in the hotel is up until the pandemic, it was going great. I mean, I was still there. I plan on going back when we reopen indoor dining at the end of this month. So my loyalty is still there. I make a lot of money there and it's good people and I have a lot of fun. But the be all end all of being here is the acting thing. And that's been going good. I've been slowly climbing, I guess, the ladder, if you will. I started off doing little commercials or non-speaking roles. And then I got into the union and then I started doing commercials with speaking roles or TV shows. And I just ended up shooting my first Hollywood movie in the Cayman Islands. For this past couple of months, I just got back just over 2 weeks ago. So
that was
a trip and a half, man. It was, things have been going great.
Yeah. Are you allowed to divulge any information about that?
I can tell you pretty much as much as that's on IMDb right now. So IMDb is essentially, you know what IMDb is.
Yeah, right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
For those of you who don't know, IMDb is, I guess, would be kind of like the Facebook of film. Like it's where you go to find someone and see what they've done and what actors are working on what and all that kind of stuff. So it's called The Retirement Plan, and it's an action. I think they've labeled it as an action comedy, but it's mostly action. There's a couple of funny parts in it. And it's with Nicolas Cage, Ron Perlman, Ashley Greene, Jackie Earle Haley, Rick Fox. I know I'm missing a bunch of names, but there's a bunch of big names on it, and I made a lot of friends on that cast too, like lovely woman by the name of Samantha Kame and Adam Marito and Dax Ravina. He's a, you know, Toronto, local Toronto actor. So it's going to be a really, really good movie. It's going to be like one of those kind of classic 90s shoot 'em up action movies.
Right.
Like if you go back to like, remember like movies like Con Air, like the older Nick Cage movies and stuff like that. So it's going to be a lot of fun. And the people that I work with and that I met were absolutely fantastic. And you know, having to wear a mask for the last 2 months, I was somewhere where they weren't wearing any masks.
Right.
It was great.
And how did that project come about? Just like through your agent or?
My agent, man, my agent's been really, really good to me. She took a chance on me.
Yeah.
Right when I was starting out, I got pointed in her direction by a casting director.
Right.
And I was still not in the union. And she's like, normally I don't take non-union guys, but I don't have anyone. Like I've got a very specific look. I'm 6'5", 240 pounds, covered in tattoos. I look like a Viking, Viking or a biker. So it's a very unique, not unique, but a very specific look. She's like, I don't have any, I guess, big fucking Vikings on my roster. So she took a chance on me and then we ended up getting a lot together. And this was one of those where I really, really put myself out there with the self-tape for it. And I guess they liked it enough to sign me on in the movie. So it was a lot of fun.
Yeah. So you mentioned you look like a Viking. I like to say you look like Jason Momoa and Drew McIntyre had a baby.
I'll take, you know what, man? If that's what's getting me roles and getting me paid, I'll take it. Absolutely, I'll take it. I appreciate the compliment.
To give people perspective what you look like. But I bring that up because do you find that having a lot of tattoos is a hinder to acting? Or you're just like, you know, this is who I am kind of thing?
So yes and no. I mean, you're completely right. There's a lot of things that I won't even be looked at because of my tattoos, but it's not really just the tattoos for me. Like it's the entire look. Like I got the long hair, I got the beard, like I like the skull rings. I like that look. So even if it was, you know, just the tattoos, that'd be one thing, but it's the whole look. So when I get looked at for a role, generally it's like the biker or the Viking or the tough guy. I mean, if you know me for more than a week, you're like, that's not who I am at all. I'm
right.
A big fucking teddy bear. But I really don't mind it just because a lot of the stuff I've been getting cast for or I get work doing is like I play the bad guy or I play the tough guy and they have more fun. Like just the same bad guys have more fun.
Yeah.
So I mean, if I get paid to play dress up, I at least get to have a lot of fun doing it. And for a lot of the guys that have come before me, like guys that I'm nowhere even remotely close to in their league yet, like guys like Jason Momoa or Batista, just big, like big tattooed fucking guys, The Rock, John Cena, like all these guys that are huge guys, they're like, okay, cool, this guy's only going to be doing one thing for the rest of his career. And then he gets known, then he gets appreciated, and then he gets more experience. And then all of a sudden they're doing comedies.
Yeah, of course.
Or they're doing romances, or they're doing stuff outside of their physical box just because they've gained enough respect to be able to be given that chance. And that's essentially what my goal is. I don't want to steer away from who I am. I like who I am. Physically, I like my look. I've worked very long and very hard. Like tattoos are painful and they're fucking expensive and they take time. I'm starting my full back in two weeks from now. So I'm only getting more tattoos. but I love my look. I love what it's gotten me. And I like the direction it takes me. And it makes me, I feel confident in myself. I feel happy about it. Right. So I'll keep doing what I'm doing with this look. And if it means that I miss out on roles, it's probably because they probably weren't meant for me.
Hey, that's a good point. I think who kind of started this whole like being big and having tattoos with like and getting successful was Batista. And I say that in a sense of like, you know, he was doing like the Mission Impossible villain and, you know, like those kind of things that you're like, okay, that makes sense. But then he did he played on that Marvel movie.
Well, Guardians of the Galaxy.
And he was like a funny guy. And then that's kind of where things changed for individuals who are big like you and tattoos and all that. He's like, oh, I see him play this. Maybe other people can play this kind of character.
Yeah. It's kind of using what you were originally meant for and using it almost not as a crutch, but almost as like, I would even say more of an advantage because the character Drax in Guardians of the Galaxy, he was a big jacked Yeah. Like gray and red. Essentially, he was tattooed, but it was just like that's how his skin was, right? Big, tough fucking guy. He's one-dimensional, but no, also he's fucking hilarious.
Yeah.
So he was able to be like, I got this role because I'm physical. So let me show what I can do and make them funny.
Of course.
Like, who would have known that Dave Bautista was going to be that funny as a Marvel character? He did a great job.
Yeah, it's true. It's true.
And I mean, there's a lot of, if you want to like look at the other side of it, there are a lot of really, really talented actors who have got a ton of fucking tattoos, but it's just, it's not necessarily that's their look, is they just have tattoos. You know that Jonah Hill is covered in ink?
I did not know that.
Jonah Hill's got like sailor style tattoos all up his arms. He's got little piecework,
I
don't know specifically, but like you'll see like cherry blossoms.
Right.
And like a swallow and then like a ship. Like he's got a whole bunch of sailor style shit. Ben Affleck has his entire back though.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Ben Affleck has a big, like colorful phoenix dragon thing that's covered his whole back.
Yeah.
Like, and he's not known to be a tough guy. It's just some actors just have a lot of tattoos and some actors are just people who like, that's a big tattooed ass motherfucker. Like that's what they're known for.
Yeah, I actually didn't know Justin Theroux has a back tattoo as well. If you know who Justin Theroux is.
Why does that name sound familiar?
Look him up. Sometime you'll see he was on The Leftovers and he's on a new show called Mosquito Coast right now, but he has a back tattoo,
okay.
But no tattoos on his arm. I was like,
yeah.
Okay. But you know, like obviously these actors like sometimes hide their tattoos or could hide it, but.
Well, for a lot, yeah, because that's not what they're known for. Like Jonah Hill's characters that he plays wouldn't have tattoos.
True.
Like Ben Affleck, when he's playing Batman, Batman's not going to have a big fucking phoenix on his back.
It's true.
So obviously they're going to cover that up, right?
Yeah.
So it's, and then there's some people who are just, oh, the tattoos work for them. It makes sense. Like guys like Bautista or guys like me or Roman Reigns or guys like, you know, those big guys. Like it makes sense.
So, you know, as we're mentioning some wrestlers, have you ever thought about getting into wrestling? Every time I see you, I bring this up. I was like, you should get into
it. I know, man. And I mean, there was this one time when I was living in Dubai and a bellhop in front of a hotel wouldn't let me get into the cab until I took a picture of him or a picture with him because he was convinced I was Drew McIntyre. And yeah, he was like, I know you can't talk about it, but like, just please one picture. And I'm like, dude, I'm not him. I'm not even fucking Scottish. And he's like, I know it's you. It's okay. So like, I mean, yeah, I get told it more often than not that I should get into wrestling and stuff like that. And I have a couple of buddies. I have an old buddy, Vince, we used to work together in Ottawa at a restaurant and he works for Superkicked Wrestling here in Toronto. His day's name is Jesse B. Big sweetheart. He's a great dad, fantastic person. And he does a lot of wrestling and I'm proud that it's got to see him, you know, translate those skills into film. He's starting to do like stunt work and all that kind of shit. So that's great. But it's not that I wouldn't like doing it. It's just like, I'm not something that I'm not completely in love with.
Right.
Like I probably would have fun doing it, but I'm much more drawn to doing auditions and doing film and doing TV and all that kind of shit. I'm sure it'd be a lot of fun and I'm sure I'd have a great time because they're performers. They are actors. They're putting on a show.
Right.
And they're extremely athletic.
Yeah. But it's the injuries that probably would not pay off in the end.
A lot of those guys get hurt, but I mean, it's part of, you know, having a very physical job, right? These guys are essentially actors and stuntmen and fight choreographers, like all rolled into one. Like that's a very, very impressive skill set to have.
Yeah.
Maybe it's too much for me. Maybe I'm just like, I'd rather just do auditions. Like I like to work out, obviously.
Yeah.
But maybe I'd just rather do auditions here because I'm scared of getting fucking hurt. Who knows?
True. All right. So you got to pick the music for the episode. So what would you like the first song to be?
I've always been a fan of Bohemian Rhapsody by Queen.
Well, we all know what that song's about, so we'll hit it right here, post-production.
Mama just killed a man, put a gun against his head, pulled my trigger, now he's dead. Mama, life had just begun.
Fandango. Thunderbolts and lightning, very, very frightening me.
Galileo, Galileo,
Galileo,
Magnifico.
I'm just a poor boy and nobody loves me.
He's just a poor boy from a poor family, sparing his life from this monstrosity.
Easy come, easy go, will you let me go?
Bismillah. No.
Mamma mia,
mamma mia, let me go. Beelzebub has the devil put aside for me.
Yeah, so it's funny. Actually, I texted you maybe a while ago when I was watching The Boys. I saw you in The Boys.
Yep.
And you're in that bar scene when you throw down with what's his face. That
was
a
Butcher.
Cool scene. Yeah.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun, man.
What was that like working with them?
He was. That was. I guess. I mean, that I was booked as an actor role, but it was much more of a stunt role, because it was essentially just a fist fight, right? I didn't have any lines.
Yeah.
But that was a lot of fun. I went there. I went out to the studio a couple of days before the shoot. We worked on the basic choreography. They were going to do a lot of stuff, you know, with the strobe lights and a lot of different cuts and stuff like that. So it wasn't an overly complicated fight scene to do. And Carl Urban is a. I was lucky. I've worked with a lot of actors who are just normal, you know, just cool dudes. Like, he likes fishing.
Yeah.
Loves his kids. You know, he likes Canada, but he prefers being back home in New Zealand. And he's just a cool dude. I got to ride around with him all day. We had the same driver because we had that scene together, and just chat with him. And it was a good experience. It was great. It was a lot of fun.
Did you try and like reach out and be like, you know, if you guys need me again, like to play?
Not really, man. I mean, I know some actors who would have the balls to do that. And me, I really try and let my performance and my professionalism on the set try and speak for itself.
Yeah.
Like, I'm all Mr. Fun and Games. You know, I like to fuck around. I like to have fun. But when I'm on a film set, I take it very, very seriously. And I really hope that, you know, I've gotten some great feedback. I really just hope that my performance and my professionalism speaks for itself in future projects. And then, I mean, hopefully the talent that they're seeking, you know, reminds them of me.
right,
in terms of, like, he was great to work with. He was punctual, he was professional, he did his shit. And then, you know, when I establish a little bit more of a name for myself, then I can probably cut loose a little bit more, have a little bit more fun. But at this point in my career, I'm just trying to make as good impression as possible on every single set and every single opportunity that I get.
Yeah.
So I didn't, like, hey man, if you guys ever need me again, I'm not there yet. I mean, that might not just be me, but I'm definitely not there yet.
Is that like a no-no to do that, or is just, that's not what you...
I mean, I've heard some people say that's a no-no. I don't see any harm, especially if it's just kind of like harmless, where you're like, you know, if you ever need someone again, don't forget to call me, like, haha, like, you're not being obsessive or creepy about it. It's not like you say that and then you email them and then you email them again just to follow up, you know, if you ever need someone. It's like, they probably get the fucking point, you know. It's a lot of these people's jobs as producers and directors and casting agents, you know, to find the right people. So if you're not the right fit, chances are you're just not the right fucking fit. It's not no amount of budging, unless you really know a guy who knows a guy. There's a lot of nepotism I'm learning in this whole thing, obviously. But unless they want you, like, you're pushing, is probably not going to do anything.
Yeah. I'm really hoping I can see you on Mayans MC before it ends. That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, that'd be a lot of fun. Like, I mean, there was a couple... Even I think the later seasons of Sons, I think it was season 5 or season 6. Was it, did they have, no, never mind. No, it was on something blood. It was the Mafia family.
Yeah, Red Blood or something. It's something to do with, I know what you're talking about.
You know what I'm talking about,
that
but
CBC
there was.
Show.
Yeah, I think it was the second season where they had to meet up with these French Canadian hells, like these French Canadian bikers. And there was one role where I was like, fuck, I would have killed to do that role. It wasn't a big role, but it was a fun one. And it was one of the bikers. And he was, I think he was the leader of the French Canadian bikers. And the guy who had it did a great job. But I was just like, fuck, I would have loved to have had that role. So, I mean, to play a biker would be obviously, it would make sense, first of all, because of the way that I look. But it'd be a lot of fun just to, like, I like playing badasses. It's just a lot more fun playing something with an attitude or something with an edge.
Yeah, I could see you on Mayans for sure.
I haven't seen any episodes, but I mean, I heard it's good. Yeah, I heard it's good.
I like it better because it's people of color versus, like, you know, obviously the whole thing of Sons was like they're only white people, right?
Yeah.
And Mayans are all like different types of people, like even white people, Spanish, all that stuff. It's a good show. But so Netflix is moving into the neighborhood in Toronto. What does that do for you? Is that like good?
That's huge. It's massive. Yeah, that's for any actor, for anyone working in film. Like, I mean, if you're on a crew even, or like, you know, if you do work anything in film, you know, there's when a new studio moves into town or new stages are built, sound stages or new studios, like the shooting lots, when those are built, that just creates tons of jobs.
Yeah.
Like, people need to work there. People need to maintain the building. People need to work on the sets of the shows that shoot there. They're going to hire a bunch of locals. It makes sense, you know, if you live in the city, to go work there.
Right.
And with more and more productions being made, that creates tons of jobs for actors. Tons and tons and tons and tons. The big, you know, it still is the Mecca, obviously, is going to Hollywood. Like, I'm planning on going there this fall for a couple of weeks just to check things out, maybe shake some hands, turn some heads. I got a couple of buddies that live out there that are doing quite well in the industry. But I mean, nowadays, especially with what the pandemic showed us, is that submitting self-tapes is the way of the future. Like, showing up, having to go across town to go into a little room with 20 other people and wait for an hour and a half to do a 2-minute audition and then have to go all the way back home. Those days are, I'm not sure if they're coming fully to an end, but they're definitely going to be nowhere near as prevalent. Yeah. Like, self-tape, that's how I booked this movie, was the self-tape. I didn't fucking go into an audition room. I haven't been in an audition room in, what, since March 2020.
Yeah.
Everything's been done online. Everything's been like, there was Zoom auditions. There are still Zoom auditions, but a lot of shit now is self-tape. Tons and tons. Everything I'm doing lately is self-tape.
That's good though, because I find like going in is so old school. Like, and then when you do it at home, you do your self-tape, you're obviously, it's your space. So you feel more confident in what you're saying versus like, maybe not for you, but for some people, they go in, they
no,
see
No, I agree, because that's how I feel.
Yeah.
That's for me, like, I mean, even with self-tapes, I'm nervous just because, you know, you want to make sure that I send in the right take. Did I believe my performance? Like, there's always going to be some self-doubt. We're our own worst critics, you know, artists especially. But I much prefer doing a self-tape than having to go in and being on the spot in an audition room. And, you know, you maybe get one take, maybe two takes, and they go, okay, cool, thank you, next. And then generally, like, I live downtown Toronto, it's still, unless I take an Uber, which is a waste of cash, it's an hour and a half on a streetcar to get to an audition. You're there for however long. Then your auditions are generally like 2, maybe 3 or 4 minutes tops if they want you to do a bunch of different shit. Then you got to head all the way back. It's very time consuming.
Right.
So the self-tapes with, like you said, being in your own space and your own comfort level, and because it's taped, if you fuck up, scrap that, I'll do it again.
Right.
You can keep doing it over and over and over again. That definitely helps a lot of people build confidence and helps them put out performances that they might have normally been too nervous to in an audition setting.
And it's more of a presentation. Like, you'll set it up, you're ready. You know, you go in for an audition, they say, okay, and you're gonna talk, and they know, oh, stand there. Yeah, okay, now you go. You know, it's that was more awkwardy, but you do that at your house, it's more like, okay, and scene, let's go, right?
Definitely much more in control when you have a self-tape situation. The only thing that I would argue against it is that there's nothing like an in-person performance in terms of getting energy across. Like, body language is a huge, 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 huge thing.
Yeah.
And sometimes, because a lot of self-tapes, what they want is like pretty much how you are right now, like shoulders up. That's what they want in the shot. They don't want these dramatic performances because they want to see your face. They want to see the expressions on your face. And for a lot of stuff, even with self-tapes where it's more convenient, there's a lot of things where it's like, man, if I had a whole room to use right now to move around and express these emotions, I know I could sell this character a lot better.
Yeah.
So there is the good and the bad. There is the pros, the cons, the gives and the takes. So, I mean, I'll say, like, I'd rather have a self-tape audition 75% of the time, but that other 25%, that other one quarter, I would love to have in front of the producers or the casting directors or the directors, just because sometimes you need that physical emotion to really sell a character.
True. And so, you know, this is a new thing due to COVID. You know, as we're talking about COVID, how did you handle COVID, especially when things were like locked down? Like, what was
your awful, form? Terribly. I'm not gonna sit here and lie to you and say that everything was fantastic. Like, I mean, unemployed, there wasn't that much that was filming, like not working, gyms were closed. Mm-hmm. Like, the gym is my mental escape. Like, that's the, I could, you know, whatever, TV, internet, whatever. I love those things, but if it was like you can only have one thing, it'd be like access to like a good gym, because that's a huge thing for my mental health, not just my physical. So it was a really tough, whatever, 15, 16 months.
Yeah.
Like, it sucked. Like, I ended up losing. I've lost around 30 pounds.
Right.
So, like, I normally will sit around like 245, maybe 250 if I'm big, but like I'm like 220 right now. And it's not that I'm a small guy, but it's like, man, I need the gym. I need to feel good. Like, I want to look good. I'm more comfortable in my skin and who I am, you know, professionally, socially, sexually, every way, when I feel a certain way, when I am a certain way. So I need those gyms to open back up and things to go back to normal before I'm back to 100%. Very grateful. I'm very, very fortunate. I have a very supportive family. I've got an absolutely fantastic landlord. I've got a great dog, you know, and I was able to luckily book a movie recently that has helped me recover a little bit financially. But yeah, the lockdown was awful, man. It was terrible.
You lost weight where others gained weight. Most people gained weight.
Fair. I was one of those guys growing up. I was always a hard gainer though. I was always naturally like a slim guy. Even in my early mid 20s, I was a skinny guy, like 6'5", a buck 80.
Yeah.
Maybe a buck 90. I was a skinny guy. And then I was just like, no, I don't like the way that I look. I don't like the way that I feel. I don't feel confident. I don't feel like I'm me. So I was like, let's start growing the hair. Let's start getting tattoos. Let's start working out. Like, you look at a picture of me from 8 years ago.
Yeah.
And you're like, what the fuck? Who the hell is this guy? So it's taken a long time to build, not just physically, but mentally, the person that I am today.
Right.
And I'm not perfect, not even close to perfect, both mentally or physically, but I've come a long way and I'm only getting stronger and better and learning more with each passing year. So
it's like on Maury back in the day when they had they showed them as a high school person. They come out, they're like, play the music, and the person comes out like, whoa, look at
it. Like, what? The big audience reaction. Whoa, oh my God. Very much so. Very much so. That's pretty accurate.
Yeah. So here we are, second song. What would you like it to be?
Second song, one of my favorite songs of all time. It's like, I fucking hate karaoke, and I'm sorry for any karaoke fans out there. It's not for me.
Right.
I find it cringy and awful. But there is one song that I will sing when I sing karaoke, and is one of my favorite songs of all time, and it is Plush by Stone Temple Pilots. Plush by STP is one of my favorite songs of all time. It's so good.
Would you even care? And I feel it. If you haven't already, you really need to check out the Crummy Cookie Dough Company. They're in Uptown Waterloo, but you can get their stuff on DoorDash, Skip the Dishes, Uber Eats, and through their website at thecrummy, that's C-R-U-M-B-Y, cookiedoughco.com. What are they? Well, it's funny you ask. They're raw cookie dough company. You could eat them raw, or you could cook them. But it's always responsible ingredients you recognize and respect. Run by two powerful women that just love the feel of 1960s vintage and 90s hip hop. It's totally awesome. So cool. So go check them out. Wonderful women. And you'll love it just as much as I love it too.
And we're back on the season finale of I Am Everything. So the show before the season finale. I couldn't end it any better. I don't even know who my season finale guest is, by the way. I just know of this gentleman right in front of me. So that tells you a lot, right? I'm not even.
They got big shoes to fill.
Yeah, big. Well, yeah, physically and mentally. While the pandemic was happening, you started a podcast. I listened to some of it.
Yeah.
What was that like to do a podcast? You did like different categories, different segments. What was that like?
So it was before the pandemic. I actually stopped it during the pandemic because I much prefer, like I said about the 25% of auditions where you'd like to be in the same room. I much prefer to have my guests beside me on the couch, so it's a little bit more of an organic conversation. Yeah,
makes sense.
Not to take away from anything like this or Zoom shows or any stuff like that, but for me, like for the type of podcast that it was, a lot of storytelling, a lot of shit talking, a lot of edutainment, I like to have the person beside me on the couch. So I stopped it until we could have people over and everything's fine again. Then I'll start it back up. I did two seasons of it. It was called Chewing the Fat.
Yeah.
And essentially, every week I'd have a guest and we would just shoot the shit. We talk about various topics. It'd be like five or six bullet points. And we go off on tangents and elaborate and tell stories and how things relate to us or how they don't relate to us. And it was a lot of fun. And I mean, everyone's doing podcasts now. Everyone with a fucking microphone is doing a podcast. Yeah, and I mean, I'm all for it. Like if you... Yeah. feel like you have something to say, there's far too much censorship. It doesn't mean it's going to be good or intelligent or even necessarily accurate, but I believe everyone should have a voice. There's too much censorship nowadays, and I firmly believe we've been conditioned to being extra careful what we say as to not offend anybody, which is completely ridiculous.
Right.
Ridiculous.
I think there's over a million podcasts. So if someone
doesn't surprise me.
If someone can break the mold and get their podcast successful, that says a lot. For me, this radio show, I can't do this as a podcast because I play music, right? So it's copywriting.
Yeah.
So like it doesn't make sense as a podcast, but there are some good podcasts out there. Like yours is a really good podcast, obviously, as I'm plugging it. What was the most interesting story you had on your podcast, or the most interesting?
One of my favorite guests was probably a buddy of mine named Tim. And we did the episode, it was called Yo Mama. And it was essentially talking about what it was like to be a mama's boy. Because him and I are both mama's boys. And I mean, when you hear the term, you're like, oh, mama's boy, he's a pussy or he's a pushover. And I've never really looked at it that way. It was just like, I'm a mama's boy. And I do consider myself a mama's boy just because like I love my mom. Mm. Like we've had a very intense relationship growing up and over the years, and it's only made us stronger. And to have someone else on the show who had a strict upbringing from his mom, like his mom whoop his ass, fucked up, same with my mom. And the genuine admiration we have for our moms and just kind of sharing stories. That was probably the episode where I laughed the most.
Yeah.
Like I laughed the hardest and I laughed the most was that, because just hearing stories, I mean, white family and a black family, two very different backgrounds, like a very religious upbringing versus a not so religious upbringing, but the characteristics of growing up in a strict household, no matter where you were.
Yeah.
the similarities were just hilarious to hear the stories. So that's probably my favorite, my favorite episode. It was just, it wasn't even anything specific. It was just sharing the stories and connecting.
Right.
On such a great level, like a very much a man, I can see it like it was yesterday, but it happened when I was like 12.
Yeah. I like that one. That one was good. And also the escort one was very fascinating as well.
That one. Yeah. The interview with a sex worker. That was a really, really good episode too.
Yeah.
I think people learned a lot of that episode. I learned a hell of a lot of that.
Yeah. I mean, it's things like that. I like podcasts like that where you interview interesting stories, interesting people. Like I had one girl on my radio show from UK. I don't know how I found her on Reddit. She's a mortuary technician, deals with dead bodies. And it was interesting. I was like, how do you do you look at humans differently? Because, you know, like she's dealt with kids. She's dealt with she said she's dealt with she said one of the worst things is she was dealing with this old guy, but she found like a shopping list in his pocket of like things he didn't buy it. It's like, isn't that crazy?
Man, you don't know when you're going to go, right?
Yeah.
Like most people, you know, when they go, like they have shit they were planning to do that day.
Right, of course, yeah. There's someone's granddad, someone's mom, someone's, it's crazy, but you got to, you think about it and you're like, okay, shit, that's, so you never know. You only live once. You only live once. So I'm gonna do ask you some questions and just give the answer comes
Please.
To mind. This
Please.
Is I don't know, I can't think of the name, but anyways, coolest project you ever worked on?
Definitely this most recent one, the retirement plan. Like it was in a foreign country with a super tight knit group of people working with Hollywood A-listers, you know, at a place where no one was wearing masks. It was. The whole thing was wild.
Yeah. Favorite movie?
My favorite movie of all time is Forrest Gump.
Good choice.
You laugh, you cry, it takes a journey through history, even though the facts are a little bit washed. But, I'm a huge Tom Hanks fan. Forrest Gump. There's this whole thing where, like, the greatest movie villain of all time is actually Jenny from Forrest Gump. Have you read these, like, these Reddit posts and stuff like that?
Yeah.
Because she totally uses him and fucks him over, then leaves him with a kid and dies. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, I love Forrest Gump's probably my favorite movie of all time. It's and right behind that is probably Saving Private Ryan, also a Tom Hanks film. So.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah.
Favorite TV show?
Of all time, The Simpsons or Jeopardy?
Those are totally random. I would never thought
Very, very different, but they're great for trivia.
Yeah, of course. Most weirdest or boringest project you've ever been on?
Weirdest was probably, I don't even know if it ever fucking aired, but it was this show called The Unexplained. And I think it's The Unexplained that's on the History Channel with Shatner, who's like the host of it.
Oh yeah, I've seen that. Yeah.
I've never seen my episode on it. And it was like, I was playing this Sasquatch. So I had to wear this big Sasquatch suit. And we were shooting in the fucking dead of winter. It was freezing cold, but the suit that they had the budget for wasn't brown. It was like white. It was like a Yeti suit. So I had to stand outside in like, it was probably minus 10. So it wasn't freezing cold, but it was fucking cold wearing the suit while they painted me. They painted the whole suit so it'd be brown. And I was just like, holy fuck. And, we had to do this. There was this one part in the reenactment where like the Sasquatch is in the barn and like the cops have like the barn surrounded. They're like, we're gonna, whatever this thing is, we're gonna catch it. And I, according to the story, the thing busted out of the barn and took off into the woods. So I had to essentially break through this crash door. Now a crash door is something that looks like a real door, like it's made of real wood. Yeah. But it's made essentially of the wood that you use to build like model airplanes.
Right.
Like it's like wafer fucking thin. It would break if you flicked it. If you sneezed on it, it would break. And I never worked with a crash door before. They're like, you've done this before, right? I'm like, oh yeah, totally done this. Like I got this, no problem. And they had built two crash doors. So we had to get it perfect in two takes or the day was a wash. Like they were fucked.
Right.
And I'm like, yeah, I got this. So like, okay, on accident, you're going to run and you're going to jump through that. You're going to jump and bust through that door, land on your feet and take off into the woods. That's the shot. I was like, no problem. So I was wearing like, I wear like size 13 shoes.
Yeah.
And they had these like giant Sasquatch feet on top of my shoes. So like I was essentially wearing like clown shoes and they're very hard to run in. So I was like, whatever, I'll figure this out. So first action is action. So I take off and I'm running way too fast. Like keep in mind the wood on these doors is paper thin.
Right.
So all I had to do was like casually break through it. Me, because I'd never done it before and I had no idea how thin the wood was, I take off full speed in this barn.
Yeah.
And I put my shoulder into it like there's gonna be any resistance, like I'm breaking through a real door. So my big giant Sasquatch foot catches the lip of the door frame.
Right.
And I go flying through this thing. I probably ended up going like maybe 7 to 10 feet in the air, just soaring through the air, landed on my chest.
Yeah.
One of my Sasquatch gloves like flew off. I'm scrambling to get to my feet. I knocked the wind out of myself and like smoked my knees. So I'm scrambling to get to my feet and take off into the woods, missing one fucking Sasquatch glove. So they yell cut. They're like, well, we can't use that. So they reset it. And this time they were like, you have to land this one. And I was like, all right, no fucking pressure.
Yeah.
So this time on action, I'm running like 2/3 speed. And when I get to the door, I kind of like just like jump and tuck my feet and bust through it, land on my feet perfectly. No mishaps, take off into the woods. We're good. So I ended up nailing it on the second shot, but that was such a weird day.
Yeah.
And I, to this day, that was like probably almost 3 years ago. I've never seen that episode on the show. I've checked it out every once in a while to see if I could find it. It's called, it was supposed to be called, I think, The Big Muddy Monster. And that was, I believe, the working title of the episode. Yeah. And I never saw it. Never saw it. So that was the weirdest. The Sasquatch suit being painted brown and then jumping through like crash doors. That was definitely the weirdest one I've been on.
All that work for nothing.
Yeah, it was non-union too. Yeah. So I didn't, you know, I didn't make 100 grand on that one. That's for sure.
I'm going to try and look for it for you.
If you can find it, like send it my way. Cause I've been looking and I've never found it.
Favorite underrated band.
Underrated, eh? I like a lot of, I guess, you know, shitty, I guess like skater rock. Like you'd hear it on Tony Hawk's Pro Skater. Right. The Bravery, I always thought were a lot better than people gave them credit for. I think they're a UK band that was in like the late 90s, early 2000s.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Dream actor you'd like to work with?
I'll pick one female and one male.
Yeah.
Female would be Meryl Streep.
Yeah.
I've got such a huge crush on her. It's not even romantic. It's like she is so incredibly talented and so like she seems so humble and just, she seems so real. So her. And then in terms of males, I think I could learn a hell of a lot from someone like Leo DiCaprio or like Christopher Watts.
Yeah. And lastly, what would you like your last song to be?
Another one of my favorite songs, just because whenever I hear it, you can't help but be in a good mood. It's 93 Till Infinity by Mighty Souls of Mischief. Can't help hear it and then not being in a good mood. Like it's just a great vibe, great song.
And what's the secret to happiness?
I wish I knew, but if you're asking for my best piece of advice on how to attain happiness, something that I really try to do, and like I said, I'm learning, I'm growing every day, but really try and stop comparing yourself to other people. Mm. Because especially with social media, perfection has been made so attainable and it has been so glorified that people forget that, you know, people fuck up, people make mistakes. Just because you look a certain way on social media doesn't mean that you look like that way in real life. We all know people like that.
Right.
Or like you look at their Instagram, you look in the real life, you're like, you look nothing like this. And it's not to say that it's whatever, that you're hideous, but it's to be like how you present. You're only showing your wins. Mm. You're only showing the best possible angles, the best possible outcomes, the best possible lighting. And that gives a lot of people very false impressions of what is real and what is attainable. So the best way to avoid that resentment and disappointment, I really think, is to just not compare yourself to anybody else. You are who you are. You know, try and be a good person. Like I said, I still fuck up. Nobody's perfect, but try and be a good person. Try and leave the world a little bit better than the way you found it.
I like that. Dial up 7 digits, call up Bridget, her man's a midget. Plus she got friends, yo, I can dig it. Here's a 40 swigging, you know it's frigid. I got him chilling in the cooler, break out the ruler. Damn, that's the fattest dog I ever seen. The weather's keen in Cali, getting weed, it makes it feel like Maui. Now we feel the good vibrations. So many females, so much inspiration. I get inspired by the blunts too. I'll front you, you, if you hang with the bunk crew. I roam the strip for bones to pick. When I find one, I
brought to you by the amazing Crummy Cookie Dough Company. Check them out in Uptown Waterloo. Great raw cookie dough with ingredients you recognize and respect.